Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action. Hey friends, we're here today to talk about serving others, how to become a channel for your highest good. And I have a great guest with me today that you're going to hear some amazing stories about his life, where he comes from, and his belief in how to serve others and really live your best life being the channel for the highest good. So welcome, Jamie, to the show.
Thank you so much, Diane. I am delighted to be here.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about how I met Jamie. I was just in a retreat. This man can cook like no other. Oh, my God. He also can sing amazingly. And first thing I want to talk about when it comes to serving other people and being in that place where you're channeling all that great information, I'd like Jamie to tell us a little bit about himself, like how he got where he is, where you come from, just what you're about, because your story to me is very inspiring, and I'm sure that our viewers would love it.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here right now, and my story begins really in the garden that I felt really happy in nature growing up, and I grew up in the Garden State of New Jersey, and we had the garden of backyard, bring it in, let's cook it up, and that's what I learned was family. My parents put me at the stove and said, hey, throw in some herbs and spices. And something happened a couple years kind of into my life where we moved to like a better neighborhood and just lost kind of that connection to nature. And maybe like a lot of people, you end up feeling like you're just getting by. I was interested in things more than people and my health. And I just didn't feel well anymore. I got sick. I got put on medication for my behavior issues. And as a teenager, at one point, I was 16, and I just had been, got to the breaking point. I was done. And I said, I'm going to take control of my health. I found the right book. I found the right mentors. And what happened was I started to speak up for what I knew was right for me and reconnect with nature. So I grew a garden again with the help of my father, and I started to cook again, and I started to feed people. When I started to feed people, I felt so happy. And I also knew that it was really beyond the food. It was really about the presence. I would create these gatherings. We're sitting next to this fire, and I would actually create campfires for my friends. I would have a meal and I'd say, let's go out and we'll sing. And I was leading the songs too. And then I just saw how they would get started and they would get going and they would get like a really good feeling of family. Like we were coming together, we were helping each other. We would pray for each other. We would just hold this heart space to bring our pains and our needs. And so we met at this retreat because I've been committed to continuing to feed people, and that's my dream, is finding really great ways of growing and preparing food for those who are ready to raise their vibration and improve their health.
Oh, that's so exciting. And it's really funny because we're in my backyard and you might hear any kind of noise, and we have a campfire here. My dog is with us, and Jamie and I connected so much at this retreat. It was just a couple days ago that it ended that we had to reconnect again and talk about the power of serving other people through living that inner vision. And for Jamie, it's food, and I can tell you it was just amazing. So I'd like to put you on the spot for a minute.
Please.
Would you sing the blessing, the prayer that you said over the food for everybody? It was so beautiful. And when you were singing it, I was a little bit upset I didn't have my phone to record it, but I was also glad I didn't so I could be in that prayer moment with you. But I'm like, oh, he's going to come be on the show. I'm going to ask him to sing it. Then I'll have it recorded because it's just beautiful. And you can imagine all the food and the love that you put into preparing the food and the way to nourish the body. So if you're willing, would you sing the blessing?
I'd be delighted to. Thank you for asking. So this song is a blessing for food. I learned it on a yoga retreat. And it is meant to open my heart, all of our hearts when we're here to eat, and just remind us that, yes, the food is important and the way it's prepared, and even beyond that, it's the energy, and it's actually our receiving of that energy. So are we open? Are we in that space of yes, thank you? So here's the prayer. Receive, Lord, in thy light this food we eat, for it is thine. Infuse it with thy love, thy energy, thy life divine. Om. Peace. Amen.
Amen.
And we actually do that every meal in my home. My daughters, I have three daughters, and my wife and I, we hold hands, and it's so sweet to see the little one-year-old. She reaches out and she grabs on, and it really helps us to come together too, around the table.
Yes, and that's beautiful. So I think I'm going to just save that and play it until I have it memorized, because your voice is just so beautiful.
Thank you.
And so when we're talking about being a channel for like the highest good.
Yeah.
And you're like, food is that ultimate nourishment and everything. And I was thinking about something you shared at the retreat about when somebody puts the seed in their mouth and the DNA. Will you explain that again?
Yeah.
That was really amazing to me, because food is so core to us, and so many people use food to medicate or have difficulty with it, or they use food to kind of block their emotions so it stops them from living their highest good.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that this conversation will show other alternatives or other ways to look at things that will inspire people. So would you mind sharing that, please?
Yeah, that's been a recent rediscovery for me of the importance of growing our own food in a very intimate way. And so, yeah, what I've studied and I've been practicing is by putting a seed in my mouth, my body will communicate to that seed, just like if you have a computer and you put a software program onto that computer, the seed takes information and it runs a program. And what I've been discerning is that potentially the seed will become your physician. It will understand through and the analytics of receiving your body's information, it will then create a prescription in the cucumber, let's say. That cucumber seed goes in the soil. I take care of it each day. The vine winds around, drops its flowers, out comes the cucumbers, and they're ready to pick. If I have taken that whole process to tend it, care for it, and then receive that, it will be like medicine. It will be like beneficial for my body, my mind, and my spirit. And this is one of my biggest passions, is sharing this with families especially. And even in a time of need, because so many children are suffering right now with different autoimmune issues, behavioral challenges. And a lot of parents feel really lost, and they go to Google, or they talk to their doctor, and the heart is kind of missing. And the heart is natural. It is Mother Nature, and we are created to be connected to our source. And so it has been really an honor to learn some of this wisdom, practice it with my own garden, my own family, and see my children experiencing this joy too.
Oh, that's amazing. I know that the next time I plant my garden, I'm going to do that, because when you were sharing that, it makes so much sense. And I think all people are yearning to be reconnected. I think that's part of the angst in the planet these days, is people like screens in front of everybody and no real authentic connection or conversation, where it's like human to human, and like we're sitting together in the same space doing this interview rather than over electronics. And so our brains are harmonizing and co-regulating together because that's what we do. That's what our mammal nature does. And I think a lot of people miss that. And I think when it comes to being a servant of the highest good for people and a servant leader, we have to be aware of those things that maybe the culture is either lost or tries to pretend like it's not real, or maybe even try to deny it if they do know it,
yes.
The importance of it. And I think it's so vital for our success and our happiness. And so you're a visionary, and I work with visionary leaders. I'm a mentor for visionary leaders. And so I have a couple questions regarding that part of your life. And the first one would be, when, has there ever been in your time in your life when you were not understood, where people just did not get you, or they just looked at you and went, oh, okay, oh, that's Jamie, and just kind of didn't really pay you the attention maybe or the understanding that, that you rightfully deserved?
Pretty much every time, everywhere, every place.
That's a yes, right? So what are some things you do to help yourself? Because a lot of people, a lot of people who listen to this podcast, and they have that issue. They have the issue where they feel kind of left out and like nobody gets them.
Mm-hmm.
Or that there's a loneliness, kind of an existential loneliness that goes with that. And so I always like to ask about that so that all the different answers from every guest gets shared about how do you handle that day to day. You know, you obviously have a great connection with your family, so that's, you know, really nourishing. Well, what about out there in the world where there's other people who might say they're visionary and they still are kind of not getting it? What are some things you do?
That's a, such a great question, because I do have practices that I play out every day. Mm-hmm. When I wake up in the morning, I try to just start giving thanks. And that kind of sets me into a rhythm, and I feel it immediately, especially if I say out loud. I'll be like, I'm just going to say some things inside my head, and then I'll feel I'm kind of like steady. And as soon as I say things out loud or sing them, I'll go, and I get like a burst, like my heart opens up and I get a little jolt of energy. Yeah. And those are like mantras and affirmations and prayers, like my one I've been doing recently.
Uh-huh.
The rejuvenating, revitalizing power of God flows through me like a mighty golden river, energizing and transforming every atom of my being so that every atom of my being dances to the rhythm of the eternal God. And then I say, that's the one I've been saying. And then I say wealth, success, health, happiness. And I just say the truth of who I am, the way I love to live. And then I have a very specific routine. I do 40 exercises, and they're tension and relaxation that I learned from Yogananda, who's a yoga teacher of the 20s and 30s. So he taught 40 exercises called the energization exercises, and it really does energize me. And then I do a short stretching and a meditation time, which is very fluid. I kind of be with what's passing through me, and I used to be much more strict about it, and like, I have to do this breathing exercise, I have to say the certain prayers, but I just make the space. I try to get up in early enough so I'm not, you know, distracted by family matters or other things. So just try to give me that privacy. No electronics, no phone, never during that time. I try to go outside, stand on the grass in those first moments, and hydrate. Try to drink lots of spring water or tea or juice in those first hour and a half as well. So those are some of the things that help me feel happy and well in this body, knowing that I'm infinite, and knowing that I'm going to engage with people who might not be seeing what I'm seeing or speaking my language or caring in the same way that I just love to give and love and just burst right into situations and be like, no, that's a little much. And so that helps me a lot.
Oh, that's wonderful. So that's a morning routine, which would be like a morning bookend.
Yeah.
And do you have an evening routine or an evening way you kind of close the day before you go into dream time? Can you share it with us?
Yeah, it reminds me, I've been studying a bit about Tibetan practices passed down through the monasteries there. And one specifically that really was exciting for me was learning about setting an intention before you go to sleep for your dream time. And actually to be conscious in dreams, to be purposeful. Okay, I'm going to go to sleep and I really want to receive the answer for that question I have. I really want to visit that person.
Right.
And you could call it astral traveling or, you know, kind of just the dream time consciousness. So when I lay down, I really open myself up to what I want to know now, what knowledge I need. But before I do that, I have my self-care routine, and the one thing I really try to include that's really changed my life is to get clear if I have any block with anyone. Forgive. Let it go. Be vulnerable. Yeah, I'm still having trouble forgiving. Mm-hmm. I'm still feeling resentful. I'm still feeling scared of talking to that person. I'm still worried about that conversation I haven't had yet. I've been delaying that. Mm-hmm. And just be really honest with myself. And just push myself to the edge and more be like, go for it. Just, what do you need to do? Do you need to write a text? Do you need to send an email? Do you need to, maybe make a phone call even? And just, I just feel like I'm still a believer of like, don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean the other person will respond, because they often don't. Or they won't respond the way I think they should or want them to. But that's been probably the hugest thing for me, is that process of release, the surrender.
Oh, that's
because I so much want to change everyone and make them happy and healthy. And everyone doesn't want to be changed. They want to be allowed to evolve in their own time, just like I do.
Right. And so it's ultimately a disservice when we try to push our agenda or force something or assign our own values or whatever to another person. That if we're going to really be in service, it's about having integrity in our own space.
Yes.
And allowing it to impact in a healthy way with our environment, whether it's people or nature or whatever it is, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really...
All the work I need to do is inside of me. And when I do the work inside of me, the whole world showers me with success. That's another mantra I've been working on for 2 years, is that, okay, however much I'm focused on making change in others' lives...
Right.
It's my inner work, my, self-care, but my achievements, these victories within, that will really make the difference and magnetize the true abundance.
Yes.
These relationships like I now I have with you, which I'm so grateful for.
I know, it's great. I love it. I absolutely love it. So, do you ever overthink?
All the time.
All the time? Overthinking is a really big downer sometimes. It can really block our enthusiasm and our spiritual energy, but I think bigger than that, it can kind of fatigue us.
Mm-hmm.
People get really tired because they just overthink. And in fact, I just saw a t-shirt recently that somebody said, hold on a minute, let me overthink this. And I'm like, oh my word. And actually, yeah, somebody tagged me on Facebook with it, saying that I help people. Diane, you help people not overthink. And they were going to get the shirt so I could help them not overthink. I said, you don't need the shirt. We can do that without the shirt. But I think that's hilarious. And it reminded me of this conversation I just had with my plumber, which is the weirdest thing. And he's on the floor in my bathroom. And he's an older man, so he has all this arthritis, and he's just like, I felt for him, and I go, do you need any help? No, I got it, and he goes, out of nowhere, we were just standing there, I was just standing there seeing if you need anything, and he said, I learned a long time ago, all the answers are within. All these people who are looking without, they're looking in the wrong place. When are people going to just realize to look within? And I'm like, all right, and we had this great conversation about his life and how he was raised and what he believes and how he raises his children and some of the trials and tribulations he's gone through. Like, for example, his mom had such severe mental illness that when it was his first day of first grade, he took himself to school, and he had no shoes on because he didn't know you needed shoes in school.
Oh, my goodness.
His friends were going to school, and he didn't have any, and he had to find his way. And then he told me the rest of the story of how he became a plumber, which is what I was asking him about. And I was just really moved by, he's a visionary, he's gifted, he's really smart, and he knows he was meant to be a plumber, and he knows why, because he's always looked for his answers on the inside. And so naturally, I guess because he really didn't get a bunch of indoctrination from other adults, because there weren't any around, his soul could just keep flourishing in that way. And so you just reminded me of that when you were sharing about the inside, because it was a very powerful conversation. And who would figure, your plumber's coming to fix your sink. You didn't know that he was going to have that
so
kind of conversation.
People who realized themselves did not have the straight path.
Right.
It was labyrinth-like, and mazes and feeling stuck and lost, but persevering.
Yes. Keep on going anyway.
Yes.
You know, like I always say, we're in Florida, so if you're going to guide California, don't turn around in Texas. You know, keep going. Keep going, right? So you use your light energy and your song and your consciousness and your love for food to help be that channel of the good for people in a very free, amazing way. So if somebody's listening to us and they were inspired by you, you know, and going, wow, you know, if Jamie can do it, I can do it. What are some things you would give the beginner, like somebody who's just kind of curious and asking the questions? What are some tips you might share with them to help them get started with being that channel for the highest good of others and serving other people, even if they're not really sure where to get started, but their heart is, you know, kind of knocking on the door for them?
The first thing that comes to mind, and this is just me, is to receive blessings from life. Trusting that the beyond, the mystery that's keeping all this happening, that I feel that I am one with, is good and loving and caring. And I can ask and receive just like I would to one of my parents. Hey, I really need help with my car. Can you come help me change my oil? Hey, can you watch the kids? And that direct, and just start to ask, and in a playful way, feel like it's already done. Like, if I ask my mom, can you watch the girls, I don't hope and wish and beg and plead that it'll happen. I just know she's a grandma that loves her grandkids. And, of course, I can work with her schedule.
Right.
But I trust that it will happen, and it will help me, you know, help her, because she'll enjoy it too. So, to me, there's like this really deep human essence of trusting in this reciprocal relationship of life wants to give, and I have so much I want to give too, but to have a fluid cycle is how I don't get drained and burnt out. And what comes to me next, as people are practicing, you know, living in this state of being the channel for the highest good, is to take time to be very still and know that as I feel my breath, my heartbeat, that life is good and I am good. I am so, so special. I am just right, just the way I am. And to start to release the blame and the shame as it comes up. And the mind, yes, overthinking, the mind will say, no, remember you did that when you were 10, and yesterday you were, you know, you didn't keep your word, you broke promises. But that's okay. I can be honest about taking responsibility, and I can return to love. And as I do that, I see this light inside of me, Diane. I see this brilliant, just dazzling light. And I see that in you then. And I see it in everyone then. And the words, you know, try to tease my mind and say, oh, no, that not that, you know, or like, not that place. But I come back to that stillness. Pardon me. Come back to that stillness. And I'm like, okay, yeah, it is still here. The light that shines in us all. And we just sang in our church day, This Little Light of Mine. It's like one of my favorite songs because, yes, mine. It is mine. And it's yours. And it's all of ours. And yeah, that stillness for me is where it really speaks. And the intuition that you speak of, to me, is our great source of guidance. That we're all, oh, I hope someone has a good word for me. Someone give me some direction. Like, I just wish someone would give me a job or show me what to do. Which door should I walk through? There's so many. But stillness speaks. And that intuition is our most trustworthy friend for me.
Oh, great. It's true. My intuition is, it's always with us. We just have to ask and pay attention. Sometimes it's the slowing down and the listening that eludes a lot of people. They're talking all the time and they don't necessarily listen on that deep level. The more I've learned to listen, better things are. Right? So I want to talk for a minute about Home for Patriots, because mm-hmm. that's how we met. And right about when this show airs, the Home for Patriots project will just be just kind of really coming, hitting its feet on the ground. And we were just in a visionary retreat for it. And share a little bit about what the Home for Patriots is and a little bit about how come you're involved in it. Like, what drew you to this project to help first responders?
Yeah, it's an exciting way to address mental health, stress, depression, you know, different burdens that people have in their life who are in the line of fire, who are running into the disasters and the emergency needs. And the reality is you get beat up and you get shaken up and you have them to have good support to heal. Like, we all need to come back home at the end of the day and be nourished and feel relaxed and cared for. When we put people in the line of fire over and over every day, they just need more help. So my expertise in feeding people, I see the design of a model that has simple plant-based healing food, which is really mineral-rich food, natural ingredients, whole food ingredients, food that is growing in the outdoor facilities of gardens, agroforestry. I love food forestry, which means you grow perennially and long-term, where you have layers of the canopy of fruit trees and nuts and herbs. And so I'm taking my experience with farming, growing food, feeding, catering, and I'm saying, hey, we can do this. We can do this for our first responders and make lasting difference so that they then can learn to do it for themselves and enjoy the process of growing food, making food, knowing basic skills around recipes and this developing more of this intuition. Oh, I feel like I need something. Let me make a tea. Or I feel like, yeah, you know what? I need to have a soup with greens, you know, and like, let's chop up some extra herbs and make a, so, you know, like one of these kind of like a pesto. You can make these herb nut, you know, and lemon and salt, and you sprinkle it on top of your salad, and they become, instead of separated from our food system, they become one with it. And then they can share that with their children. The children come in. I mean, how amazing to make a difference, like a father and mother who's experiencing trauma comes into one of our programs, the Home for Patriots, and then the kids and the other, you know, spouse or the right. grandparents show up, and they're like all getting touched by this this healing. And so that's why I'm excited.
Oh, that's amazing. Because the Home for Patriots is for first responders, and it's going to eventually be a nationwide initiative to really step in and help first responders who are burned out, stressed out, maybe even suicidal, or just needing that extra support and don't know where to go and where to turn. And we've come together as a mighty force. And that's how we met. And so I have the honor of directing all the programming and creating a one-of-a-kind experience so that people can not only just get on the other side, but they can thrive in a way where the past no longer controls their future and actually become free. And the food is such a vital part of it, and the nutrition is such a vital part of it, because most people get malnourished when they're under that kind of stress, or their body can't even absorb things. And so it's so important, the role you have with the Home for Patriots. And the moment I met you, I'm like, oh, this is a person who's going to be perfect for this project. So I'm glad we came together with the project and we get to do this great interview here today. And I have one last question. If there was the opportunity for you to put any message on a billboard that the whole world would see, what would you put on that billboard?
The first thing that came to mind that I saw was, I am love.
I am love. There you go. You are love.
I am love.
Yes, we're all love, right? That's how it is. So I want to thank you for listening. Thank you, Jamie, for coming to this great interview.
And thank you, Diane.
I'm sure that we will put your contact information in the show notes and all of that kind of thing, so you can contact him. He's going to start cooking for me as long as we're in the same city, because that's how good his food is. And I'm going to play that blessing over and over and over again. Anyway, so I'm not going to bore you, but have a good one. And until the next episode of Someone Gets Me, Your Visionary Playground, be well.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit someonegetsme.com. Again, thanks for listening.